Remember, these days in Semana Santa, these days in this Holy Week, are all focused on the workings of the Passion, what happens on during the sacred Triduum of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, this three-day-long feast which we enter into in the life of the Church. Really, it begins for us what is called the Paschal Fast, which is 40 days, or rather 40 hours of fasting, mimicking in a more intense way the 40 days of Lent. Maybe you've not heard about this fast before. The Paschal Fast is the most intense fast as practiced by the Church since the earliest times, since the 7th century. And in this time, the Church would encourage her children not to take any food whatsoever during this time, a total black fast of 40 hours from the moment of the conclusion of the conclusion of the service of good of Holy Thursday all the way until the conclusion of the Easter Vigil, whereon the Church would engage in great feasting. During that time, recognizing that this is the time when our Lord himself did not take any bodily nourishment, and so we would take no bodily nourishment in like manner after the example of our Lord. Herein, this day is really a preparation for tomorrow. We see the two figures who so grossly betray our Lord, Peter and Judas. Peter and Judas then are two sides of the very same coin, both denying our Lord. Both had the intimacy of being with him for the full of his ministerial life. Both had seen all these great miracles that were before him. Both had heard the words of life spoken by he who is our life itself. They had these same great experiences there, Judas being the one by whose kiss he is handed over to the Jews and then to the Romans and then unto death on Calvary. Peter, the one who is his rock, upon whom he would build his entirety of the foundations of his Church and set up as his first pope. We often think of Judas as being the most vicious betrayer of Christ. That is not so. The most vicious betrayer of Christ is St. Peter. Realize this about St. Peter. He was the most privileged of disciples of the Lord. That he was there for all the great moments. Sometimes our Lord pulled away from the 12 and only took the three, Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John were there at that great moment of the miracle at Tabor, when he was revealed the fullness of his glory in the Transfiguration. It was Peter, James, and John who went away with him in that boat to see his great miracles which he performed there upon the sea. It was Peter, James, and John that were with our Lord in intimacy further on into the Mount Olivet, there in that beautiful garden where our Lord said, I want you three to be with me because you are the ones who really understand me and can really pray with me and keep watch. Yet it was Peter who denied him thrice, and even the last time, swearing up and down, cursing, that he did not even know the man. The Gospel of Luke records a beautiful passage in it. And in that Gospel, we see that our Lord does something which is beautifully illustrated in the Passion of the Christ, which we watch together at noon in the theater. Luke 22:62. Maybe you can remember that as you go beyond. 22 is the chapter, that's the Passion. 62, the age at which is the earliest when you can take your retirement benefits. Luke 22:62. And it records there, that's the next part, it's 61, the verse before that. Where after he had denied him those three times, the cock crows that third time, he realizes what he's done as our Lord is brought out before him to be taken, to be chained until they can bring him before the leaders of the government. And it says, the eyes of our Lord looked deeply upon the eyes of St. Peter. It was then that Peter realized what he had just done, hearing the cock crow, seeing our Lord's eyes right there, the one who he just swore up and down cursing that he didn't even know. And is that when the full weight of his actions really struck him the greatest? What was that look of the Lord like? It was not a look of anger or disgust, but rather a look of sorrow, a look of compassion, a look of love, a look of, how could this have happened, friend? My intimate one. Peter, realizing that, it says that he went out and began to weep bitterly. Weep bitterly. Weep bitterly over the many of his sins that wound had done, because our Lord Jesus had so sincerely loved Peter, and he realized how he had not sincerely returned that love, and so he wept bitterly. In fact, if you look at the ancient writers, the fathers of the Church, they write about that St. Peter himself could not even consider, could not retell the tale of his denial, without being lost in bitter tears for the whole of his life. When you and I think upon these beautiful moments of the Passion as we read them, when we hear St. Peter's denial, that is the clue for you and I to look upon the moments where we ourselves have denied our Lord, have gravely turned ourselves away from him, who have lost ourselves in sins which show that we wish to have nothing to do with the man, this Christ, our Lord. And yet our Lord, in his great mercy, does seek to reconcile the sinner, and anyone who returns to Our Lady always finds consolation. The Passion of the Christ also illustrates that for you and I beautifully in this time, where Judas ran off to the chief priests, who, it says, quote, did nothing for them. Attend to this to yourself, denying their own priestly office of offering sacrifice for those who are repentant sinners. Yet, even when man does not fulfill his office, Our Lady is perfect, and she always does, and intercedes. Through the intercession of Our Lady, that many souls can find the grace of forgiveness, to be turned back to the Lord, and to realize that their sins are not the end of their life, but rather, through her consolation, to find that loving gaze is not in condemnation, but in love and a desire for reconciliation. That one merciful look of our Lord, the compassionate, loving gaze of the blessed Savior of the world, was enough to change that weak, impetuous apostle to be a man of such character and strength that he became in truth a solid foundation for the Church of Christ. And so from that point on, St. Peter would endure terrible trials and difficulties for the faith, dangers on behalf of his master. And when finally he was condemned to death, he would plead with his executioners, no, you cannot crucify me in the very same way in which you crucified my master, for I'm not worthy of such an end. He pled with them to turn his head downward, as he was unworthy to be crucified in that same position in which his Lord had died. Such is the same reversal that we seek within our souls today during this time. Ask our Lord for the grace to truly enter into these sacred mysteries and not to see them as words upon a page or things which happened in the past, but to intimately enter into them and see how they map onto your life and to mine. And then in doing so, as the Church proclaims all throughout the whole of this Lenten season, and will say again over and over again throughout Paschal tide, that the Lord did all these things for us, that having died with Christ, so may we also rise with him to the fullness of life in Paschal glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.